We begin the current daven Sagsubis Tav Tzadi test. We're being 13 lines down for the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had posed the following question, because it relates, at least one of the proofs the Gemara tried bringing to the question was from one of the halachas of our Mishnah, which the Gemara asked, if someone tells his shliach, his messenger, to sell from his field a half a kor. And it turns out, instead of selling a half a kor, he sells a full kor. So the Gemara's question was, is that like Maisav al Devar? Is that he fulfilled his mission? He sold the half a kor. It's just that he also added on to that, but still what he had sold that half is a sale. Or do we say that no, it's like Mavar al-Davar. You didn't do what I told you to do, and therefore nothing is sold. That was the Gemara's question. Now Gemara continues and says, V'igadami, now those that have a different version of the Gemara's discussion. And that is, Holek Tibaylach, that's not a question which we had phrased it in the previous stuff. That is, Hecha da'amar le'zil zabin le'lischa, where he says, sell for me a half a kor of my field. B'zabin le'kura, and he sells a kor. D'vadli ma'isav al devarav. The truth is, he's not violating what he had told him to do. He did what you asked him to do. He just did more than that. So definitely, the half, which was part of the shlichas, is a valid sale. Ki t'baylach, the question is, however, where da'amar le'zil zabin le'kura, where he sells, where he says, go sell for me a kor, and instead, he sells only half. My, what's halacha in that type of situation? As the Gemara explains, me and Rinan, do we say that amale, that the shliach could tell the mashaleach, the one who sent him, to tabalach avdilach, what do you mean? I did you a favor. De'iloi mitzdarchi lach zuzi, because if, let's say, you would regret the sale, and you wouldn't need the money that was the purpose of why you were selling the field, you would never be able to retract had I sold the full amount that you told me to sell. And therefore, I did you a favor. I ended up selling, but I didn't sell all of it. And therefore, it is going to be a valid sale because actually it's a benefit for you. If you want, you could sell the rest now, but had you sold it, you would never be able to get your money back. Or maybe the mishaleach could tell the shliach, what do you mean? I don't want many people to have deeds with that against me, showing that I owe them, that this is fields that they have that were bought for me. I don't want them any to have to sell it in two different time slots. And therefore, it's like Kamar al-Davar, and hence, selling less than is not going to be considered a valid sale. So even if we say, Meisav al-Davar, if he does more than what he was asked to, that whatever was included in that less, which was part of his mission, is valid, however, the question could be posed, and if he does less than what he was asked. Do we say that it's a favor, and therefore it is valid? Or do we say that no, it's not a favor, because I don't want that Reuven, Shimon, Levi, everyone has deeds against me, I'd rather sell it to one person. So Amar B'chanina Misuri says, Toshima, let's bring a riot from a Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah. The Mishnah Me'ilah says, Nosan Lay Dinner Shalzab. If somebody tells to his shliach, he gives him a golden dinner, which is worth 25 silver dinarim, which is around 6 sloim. And the significance is because the Gemara splits it up into sloim. So it's around 6 sloim. V'amalei tells him, look, havilei chalik, take this golden dinner and buy me a cloak, a shirt with this. V'halach v'heviloi, and he comes back from his shopping and he brings him back b'shalosh chalik. With half of it, meaning 3 sloim, he bought him the shirt. U'b'shalosh talis. But with the other 3, he bought him a talis, which essentially is similar to the case of what we're discussing, where he says, sell for me a kor, and instead he sells a lischa, where he commanded him to sell, in this situation, the whole dinner for the shirt. And instead he did half. He only went and bought the shirt for half the amount. So the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah says, Shnei Malu. Both of them, the Mishaleach and the Shliach, have committed Me'ilah. So the Gemara proves the question. If you say, in the case that we were describing before in our question, that when a shliach does, let's say less, does half, that it's considered that he has fulfilled his shlichas, even though you asked him to do a kor, and he did only a lesach, a half a kor, it's considered he had done his shlichas, and that umais of devar havi, he's just adding on to what you had told him. Where, again, as we start off, the Ikadamri of this Gemara says that according to everybody, that would be considered a fulfillment of a shlichas. So, Mishum Hachi Balabai Small. So, therefore, in that case, we could understand why both of them committed Me'ilah. In other words, where it turns out that this golden dinner was really that of Hektish, where you commit Me'ilah. So we understand that he committed Me'ilah, the Shliach, for the Talis, and the Meshaleach committed Me'ilah because although he asked that all of it be done for a Chaluk, but since half it was done, that is, as we're explaining now, that's considered a Heshlichas, which as we explained in the previous daf, a Meshaleach, someone that sends someone else to violate Me'ilah, the Me'ilah violation goes to the one who sent him. But Eliyamet Maval Devarvava, but you take the other option of the question that says that if the shlich does less than what he was asked to, that's considered that he has not done the shlichas, so am I mal. So why has the sender committed Me'ilah? And that is because you can't, as Rashi explains, although you can't say over here the reasoning, which the Gemara had given to the two options of the question, where you say that I don't want to have many documents against me, which was the reasoning of why we said it would be considered Maval Devar, but Rashi explains, but if we generally say that when the Shliach does less than what he was asked to, it's considered Maval Devar, so by intrinsically, the way that we define Shlichas now, we define it as someone not having fulfilled the Shlichas. Because generally, that's the reason. So although in this case, it has nothing to do with Shlichas, but ultimately, it's not considered him having fulfilled the Shlichas. So if you're saying that doing less is Maval Devar, so why was the Baal HaBayis mal? Obviously, you see that it's Kemais Baal Devarav, and that even if he does less, it is going to be considered a fulfillment of the Shlichas. So I think Mar says, no, it's no right. Hachamai Eskina, because what are we talking about over here in the Mishnah Masech Zemeilah? The Aiti Le Shava Sheish B'Shalish is that he actually brought him a shirt that's worth 6 Slayim. He just got a bargain. He only paid 3 Slayim for it. So, as Rashi explains, so of course the Shliach did his Shlichas, because he was told to buy with this golden dinner a shirt worth 6 Slayim, which is the amount of the golden dinner. And that's what he brought back. He just was able to get it for 3, and with the other 3, he got a talis. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, if he basically got the entire amount of the dinners up for the shirt, which was what the Meshaleach had sent him for, so Ihachi Shliach HaMaimol. So why did the Shliach commit Me'ilah, if essentially he used the entire din azav for a shirt, which is worth the entire din azav? So the Gemara explains, Atalis, because of the last 3 slayim, where that he used on his own to buy for the Baal HaBayis Atalis, where that wasn't told to him by the Baal HaBayis, for those 3 slayim where he on his own went and spent it on the Atalis, that's why he committed the Me'ilah. So you have the Meshaleach and the Shliach. But the Gemara asks on this, if this is the interpretation that you're giving in the Mishnah, Masechtas Me'ilah, and therefore it's not a right to the question that we asked, same as say, if you look at the end of that Mishnah, there's a dispute. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, no, af bezeh Baal HaBayis le'mal. No, in this case too, the Baal HaBayis has not committed Me'ilah where he went and didn't only buy the Chalak, he bought a Talis with 3 and he bought a Chalak with 3. The reason being is, Rabbi Yehuda says the reason is, it's because the Meshaleach, the one who sent him, could tell him, Chalak Gadol Yisim Avakish, I wanted a large shirt. Vata Avesili Chalak Katan Brian, you bought me a small one, an inferior one, because you only took 3 of the coins to buy me the shirt. You took the other 3 to buy a talis, and therefore that's not what I wanted, and therefore that's not considered a fulfillment of the Shlichas. Hence, that's not a violation of Me'ilah on the Meshaleach's part. Now, that the Gemara asked, if it's the way you just interpreted before, that you said that he actually fulfilled the Shlichas, not because he did half, because he did whole. How did he do whole? Because he ended up buying a shirt worth 6 Slayim for only the price of 3 Slayim. So if that's the case, what's Rabbi Yehuda saying that that's not a fulfillment of the Meshaleach, because he could tell him, oh, you only took half my money to buy the shirt I wanted. What do you mean half? But he bought him a shirt that anyways would have costed 6. So why is he saying that's a Chalak Katan V'ra? Another Gemara says, no, that's not a question. My Ra, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says that you ended up buying me a small inferior talis? It means Ra bedamim. It means to say inferior in how much money you spent. Because you spent only 3 slayim to buy me the shirt. And I said you should buy it for 6 slayim. Now the question is, what's his problem? Because he got a good bargain and he got you the same shirt anyway. On that, Rabbi Yehuda says no, because the Amale, the Meshaleach could tell the Shliach, I Isis li b'shis. Had you done what I told you and would have bought me a shirt for the full 6 slayim, even though you ended up buying me a shirt worth 6 slayim, kol shegain, all the more so then for sure I would have gained, because the havashav atar tisrei. What would have ended up happening was you ended up getting a bargain. In other words, you paid 3 slayim for a shirt worth 6 slayim. Had you used all 6 slayim for the shirt that I asked you to buy me, then you would have gotten me a shirt worth 12 slime. The reason being is because actually I would have gained even more, because the more you spend, the more the seller is willing to go cheaper. So just like you think you got a bargain by getting it for 3 slime instead of 6, but I wanted you to pay 6, because then you would have gotten me actually a beged, a chalak, worth 12. That's why, according to Behuda, that's why it's not a fulfillment of shlichus. Not because it's not doing what he asked him to do. It's actually, he got him the chalak that's worth 6. But according to Behuda, that's still considered not fulfilling his shlichus, because then he would have gotten 12 sloim worth of the beged. Now the Gemara says, actually, dekenami. Actually, the way the Gemara refuted the raya is inferred from Rabbi Huda's statement mentioned elsewhere, that when Rabbi Huda says ra, that it's inferior, he means inferior in how much money that was spent. And that truthfully is, as the Gemara had explained, that he was brought a shirt worth 6, just albeit by spending 3 slime. And the reason is, as we explained, because as we learned in Tani, as we learned in the Tesefta Masechta Me'ilah, it says that although Rabbi Huda argues on the Tanakama, but Ma'id Rabbi Huda bekitnes. Rabbi Huda agrees to the other opinion when it comes to legumes, to kitnias, where then you cannot say that, as Rabbi Huda said regarding the chaluk, where, what do you mean? Had you gone and spent everything I would have said, then you would have gotten me double the amount, where I would have gotten a cheaper price. By kitnias, you can't have that same logic, as the Gemara will shortly explain. So there, Rabbi Huda agrees, shishnei malu, where both of them have then thus committed me'ilah, where if he gave him a certain amount of money, and he told him to buy kitnis, where it was from a coin of Hekdish, where he got the full amount that he needed from spending half the money on that, and then the other half of money he went and spent on something else, there Behuda agrees, like the opinion of the Tanakhama, that both of them will have committed Me'ilah. As we return to Tamid Beis, where the Bryce explains, because Shakitnis Besela, because however much kitnis you buy with a seller, is the kitnis Bepruta, is really the same amount that you can buy proportionately of a kitnis for the amount of a pruta. In other words, according to the calculations of prutas in the seller, that's how much kitnis you're going to get. In other words, because you buy more, the price is not going to be cheaper. It's sold by measurement, as the Gemara will conclude that we're talking about in a place where they sell by small jug worth of kitnis. So therefore, Rabbi Huda says, there I agree. There Rabbi Huda agrees, where there's no such a logic, as the Gemara will prove thus, that when he says ra, it meant inferior in how much you paid, not in what you got me. Because as the Gemara says, shma mina. From here we can infer, because why? Hechidami, what is this case talking about where Rabbi Huda would agree? Although he argues by the shirt, where he gave him a certain amount of money to buy a shirt, half he bought the shirt with, half he bought a talis with. Tanakhama says both of them committed me'ilah. And Rabbi Huda says, no, that's not what I asked for you. For I asked for a certain amount, a certain type of chalak, and you got me one that's rava cotton, which we have to define what that means. The Gemara is trying to prove that it's not as the Gemara had assumed, that it means less than, because he got the same amount of shirt. It's just the amount of money spent, because he could have gotten something better. Now, in contrast to that, Rabbi Huda agrees, the same type of a case by kitnis, where there he gave him a certain amount of money to buy legumes, and instead of spending it all on that, he got the amount that he would have gotten with that amount of money, but he only spent half the money on that. And the other half of money he spent on something else. Huda agrees both of them are going to have committed me'il in that case. Now, what's the case? If you say it's a type of a place where they sell kidneys with evaluating, assessing, meaning there's no set price on certain type of measurements, well, then the difficulty is, but Heichad Yovle Sela Muzli Gabei Tvei. But then, had he given the full Sela for the kidneys, then just like the same logic, if this says by Chaluk, by a shirt, should apply over here to kidneys. Then you get a cheaper price. You buy more, so then the seller says, okay, you buy more, I make it cheaper. So then why would Rabbi Huda agree in this case that both of them are going to commit Me'ilah? Just like he says by the shirt. No, you got me the 6 for the 3, but had you bought it with the 6, I would have gotten the 12. So rather, Amar Papa says, Ba'astra dekai libekane. Here in this halacha of kitnis, we're talking about a place where they measure it in these small vessels, where the Amar lay, where the shliach could tell the mishaleach, kana kana bepruta. Every single jug is a pruta. In other words, if you want more, then you could send again and buy more. In other words, this is not like the chaluk, where it's sold ba'amid in the valuation, and hence, had he bought it with the whole amount, he would have gotten much more. And that's why, according to Behuda, he agrees in such a case that it is a fulfillment of the shlichus. Because who cares that you're getting less, you're not losing in any way whatsoever, which is not the case that Behuda argues on by chaluk, where you do lose out because you would have gotten a better shirt for the same amount of money. Now, and that the Gemara explains, it works well with the way we're defining what Ram means, as Rashi explains. If the Mishnah Masechtas Me'ilah, when Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not a good shlichus, because although you got me a shirt worth six, but you ended up bringing me a cholik that's ra. Now, had ra meant literally bad, where because he only bought him a shirt worth three and not worth the whole six, and that because the other three he actually bought a talis with, then go ahead and transpose that interpretation regarding the case of kitnis, because we're contrasting them. He's saying, Behuda argues by the chalik, but he agrees by the kitnis. What would that mean by the case of kitnis? Where he says, look, I'm giving you a sella. I want you to buy me beans, a sella worth of beans. And instead, the case would then be talking about, where he brings him a half a sella of worth of beans for the amount of the half a sella that he's buying beans with. And with the other half a sella, he buys something else. If that was the case, then why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would that be considered a violation of Me'ilah for the Baal HaBayis? But he should have told him, what do you mean? I asked you for a seller's worth of beans. Now, obviously, therefore, that's why it's not a riot. In other words, because we have to be saying that's talking about where he purchased for him all of the kitnias. And the ra is, must be only ra bedamim. And therefore, that's not a loss of kitnias. In other words, it's not a loss because he didn't take any less of the shlichus that he had sent him for. We can't prove it to the question. The original question was that we're talking about a shlichus where he did half the shlichus. So on that we had attempted to bring a raya from this case because instead of getting a chaluk for six, he got it for three. So we explained, no, three doesn't mean three. And he bought him a shirt of six for three, and that's why it's considered fulfillment of shlichus, and that's why the Baal HaBayis is more. But then we wondered, what's with Rabbi Yehuda then? So he says ra, so he said ra means bedamim. And how are we proving that? We're proving that from the case of kitnis. Because if the case of kitnis was talking about the way we had assumed that ra means less than, then why according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he says that when I ask for a certain amount and you give me less than, I wanted a big chalak and you give me a small chalak, that that's not considered valid, and literally means to say because instead of getting me a chalak of six, you give me one of three, then why would the case of beans be any different? The case of beans should be the same thing. I asked for a seller's worth, and you give me half a seller. So it must be that the defining characteristic that changes between beans and a shirt is because shirt is sold bo'emid. Then if you would have used all the money that I asked you for, I would have gotten more for my money. And because instead of getting a shirt of six for three, I would have gotten a shirt of 12 for six. That's a bigger savings. Whereas by beans you don't save. You could buy 100 of these kanes of beans, you're still going to get the same amount per your dollar. So there, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree that yes, even if he does the half, because he got him exactly how much he wanted, so therefore it's going to be a violation of Me'ilah. So must be, it's actually as we explained, that ra means ra bedamim, not literally bad, and you didn't get any less. And therefore there's no raya from the Mishnah to prove the question about if someone does less than what he was asked, because he didn't do less. He actually, in the case of the chalik, got him the chalik of the entire din azav. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya to this question about when a shliach does less than what he was sent to do. So Toshma, the Gemara tries to bring a raya from our Mishnah. One of the cases in our Mishnah was, Haysik subasa arba meizuz. If the woman's ksuba was 400 zuz, and marcha lezebemana, or lezebemana, and she sold one field to this person for a mana, and this one to this person for a mana. Ula achrin yafa mana b'dinner b'mana. And regarding the last field, when she has one more mana left to collect, she sells a field worth a mana and a dinner. So on that, the Mishnah says, shal achrin batal. So that last field sold is going to be batal, because that's more than what she's supposed to get. And b'shal kula machrin kaim, however, but all the previous ones, which was okay, they're going to be valid. Now, on that, the Gemara is trying to prove, here we're talking about a woman that has the right to sell, basically it's like a shlichus, from the orphans, from the late husband's estate, to sell 400 zuzim worth of field to be able to collect for aksuba. Now, when she sold the first one for a mana, so that's essentially like when a mishaleach says, zaman li kura, sell for me a kura of field, v'zaman li lischa, and the person ends up selling only half a kura, because here she was told to sell 400 for mana worth, and instead she sells mana, each one. That means the first time she does it is like half of a shlichus. And still we see that mechron kayim, that it's going to be a valid sale. So we see that doing less is not kamavar al devar. I think Gemara says no. Kedamar of shisha b'reidur av idi. Biktini, as the Gemara later on will quote this, what context he's talking about. So hachanam biktini, here also we're talking about that the fields were not contiguous. They weren't together. In other words, it's not fit for one person to have all these four fields as if in one big shot. Hence, essentially what was, when the orphans are sending the woman to do the sale, it's essentially like they were saying that each one you sell separately because they don't have any relationship one with the other. So it's not a case of kur and then selling a lesach. Okay, so the Gemara didn't resolve the question about when you do less than the shlichas than what it was asked to do. But the Gemara continues on this theme. Pshita, it's obvious if Amar, if a person tells his shliach that I want you to sell a base kur of my fields, la'echad v'lo yishnam, to one person, not to two people, that ha'amar le'echad v'lo yishnam. So he told him clearly that only for one person and not to two people. In other words, even if you say that generally if someone tells his shliach, sell for me a kur, and he sells for him a lesach, meaning half that amount, which was the question that we just left off with, which we didn't answer, even if we'll say that the mechira is kind, that it's a valid sale, even doing just half, here the Gemara is saying it would be batel because he specified explicitly that I don't want many documents. I don't want to sell it to more than one person. So that would be clear. But the Gemara's question is, omele le'echad stama. If let's say he didn't say and not to do, he just said, do me a favor, sell it to one person. My, what's the halacha in such a situation? Do we say by just saying, I want you to sell it to one person, he's revealing his intention that not to two? Or do we say that no, one, it wasn't specifically not two, it could be even two. So we have machlekes. Rav Huna Amar, he says, la'ech de b'loy l'shnayim. No, when he says sell to one means not two. And Rav Chisda, Rav Huna, the Amri Tavai, they both say that no, le'echad, when he says sell to one, it doesn't mean not more than that. But for l'shnayim, it's even two people. And le'echad, Rav Lameya, selling to one means even to 100 people. And the reason being is because it's not normal for people to be particular about not selling it to more than one person. And therefore, this person also, we don't have to assume that he was particular about it. He's just saying it in a normal way of speech, where you say, okay, tell it to somebody. That's to one person. But it doesn't mean one and not two. And actually, had he been particular about not selling it to two, he would have said, don't sell it to two people. So that's a machlokes. So the Gemara brings a story that illustrates this halacha, that Ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Rav Nachman went to sura. Ulegabei Rav Chisda v'Rab Rav Huna. So Rav Chisda Rav Huna came to visit him. Amrulei, they said to him, ki hagav namai. They asked him this shaila, this question that they argue with Rav Huna. What's the halacha if the person says sell to one but didn't say and not to two? So Amrulei said to them, le'echad v'afel l'shnayim, one and even two. Le'echad v'afel l'meya, one and even 100, which was like their opinion. Now, but they continued the line of questioning. Amrulei, they said to him, afagav t'to shliach. Is it even if the shliach made a mistake? In other words, you're saying that even if he didn't do exactly like he asked him to do, which was to one, and to do two is also valid. What's the halacha if, let's say, he undersold the field that he asked him to sell? Would you say there also that the sale is still going to be valid? So Louis said, no. The tashliach lekamin. I didn't say anything about if he made an error. He made an error. That's not going to be valid. So Amalei, they said to him, but va'amamar, but the master said, Eino, look, our koi, this is a Mishnah in Perek Hazav that says there's no eino. Eino is when there is an error to a certain extent in a sale, a certain amount far surpassing the normal prices that something is sold for, that doesn't apply to land, because land can go way up or way down. Therefore, the halachas of eino do not apply. So therefore, why would you say that if the shliach makes a mistake, that that's not valid? If we see that when he's given the right to execute the sale, and no matter, he didn't specify how much, he said to sell it, and even if he undersells it, it's just to be valid because that is a halachic sale, no matter what price you get for it. So on that he answered, no. When did the halacha of Ein Anoba Karkais apply? That's when the homeowner sells it. But if the messenger made an error and he way undersold it, so then Amalei, he could tell him, L'skunish adartich, what did I send you on the mission for? I sent it to you to do me a favor. Not to make things worse than me. And therefore, if he undersold it, it's not going to be a good shliches, and it's not going to be a valid sale. Now, that the Gemara explores, from where do we know this to say that there is a differentiation between the shliach and the balabais? Usually we say shliach shalom kamaisa, and the messenger is the same as the one who sent him. So why do we say that if somebody himself sells land, no matter what price he gets, it's a valid sale, but when he sends a messenger, that then we will differentiate and say that I didn't send you to make things worse for me, and therefore if he way undersells it, it's not going to be a valid sale. So the Gemara says that now, like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas. The Mishnah says, if somebody tells his messenger, go out and take off truma from me, which is a certain amount from a person's produce that has to go as kahana gifts to the kahanim. So what's the halacha? What does the shliach do? So tarim kedas balabais. He takes off truma, how much he recognizes by this balabais, by this homeowner, what type of a person is he? Is he somebody that has a good eye? In other words, he's very generous. So then you take out one out of every 40 pieces and give it to the kohen. If he's a stingy type of a guy, so you give one out of every 60 pieces. Now, let's say he doesn't know him that well. So then turn bebeinus. So then you go ahead and take a truma in the middle road, which is echem echem yishim, 1/50th. And that's given as truma. Now, if pichas asar, if let's say he did 10 less, in other words, he ended up taking up truma out of every 40 pieces, or he ended up adding 10, meaning instead of doing the middle road of 1/50th when you don't know a person, he went and he took out one out of every 60. So truma soy truma. So the truma is going to be valid because the shliach could say, that's how I evaluate you. I evaluated like that. I thought you're a stingy type of a guy. So I went and did it one out of every 60. Or he said, I thought you were a generous guy. So I'd take 1/40th. But it's, as long as within that range of between 1/40th and 1/60th, it's going to be valid. Now, however, the Gemara says, contrast that with Ve'ilu Gabi Balabais Tanya. But regarding a homeowner himself, it says in the Braisa, Tarm Va'ala Be'yodeh Afila Echad Me'esimet. Somebody's taking off Truma, and turns out, he realizes afterwards that he ended up taking out 1/20th for Truma. That, the Braisa says, Truma Soy Truma. That's considered halachic status as Truma. In contrast to the Shliach, where we learned in the Braisa, that it's only up until Piches Asara. But if he takes off more than that, more than 1/40th, let's say he takes 1/30th, that's not going to be valid. So we see, obviously, that there's a differentiation between the balabais and the shliach. We don't say it's the same thing. So though a balabais could way undersell something, so too he can go way under in what the measurements are for truma, that it'll be even 1/20th. But that's the balabais. That's a balabais. But the shliach has only within a certain amount of range. If not, he could tell him, L'skun ishadartich b'loy la'avasi. Now, the Gemara continues then, trying to bring a raya to this question. If somebody says that, le'echad, I want you to sell this to one person, but he doesn't specify. If it's for two people, what's the halacha? Which was the machlekes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda Rabbi Rav Huna, where when they asked the question to Rav Nachman, he also said like them. But can we prove this question either way? So this is Tashma coming here from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, we quoted this before, that her ksuba was 400 zuz. So it says, let's say she started selling off fields for one for a mana, another one for a mana. Now, la'achran, to the last person that she's selling for, she went and she sold shav a mana of a dinner b'mana, a field worth a mana and a dinner for a mana, which was otar. So the Mishnah says, shall achren batal. The last one's batal, obviously, because she's not allowed to sell mana a dinner if it's only for a mana. But for shakul and mechren kaim. But for all the other ones, it's a valid sale. Now, if it would be true that when someone tells someone else, I want you to sell this to one person, in other words, if it's a general concern for people of having more than one document, one deed that's against them, in other words, about what their property is now owed to people, so although the Yisayim, the orphans, didn't say anything to the woman about not selling it l'shnayim and only saying it l'echad, but we should be an advocate for the orphans. We should say that the mechir is batal. Therefore, what you could prove from here is obviously when someone says le'echad, it doesn't mean b'loy l'shnayim. Because if there was an option of saying le'echad b'loy l'shnayim, then we should say the same thing over here, that although the orphans didn't say even le'echad, but we should say that for them, because that means to say that there is such an interest in people, when they say le'echad, it means b'loy l'shnayim, because they don't want many documents against them. So on that, the Gemara rejects the raya. Amar Rav Shisha b'ri Rav Idi. No, it's talking about Begatini. It's talking about that there are separate small fields which don't have relationship one with the other, and therefore there by default would anyway be separate documents, because it would have to document that field over there on the northeast, that over there on the southwest. You would have to have separate documents anyway, and that's why it's not a raya to the question, and we don't resolve the question of the machlek is if someone says le'echad, if it means le'echad v'le l'shnayim, or le'echad means even l'shnayim or even l'meya. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, where we spoke about if someone sells the inheritance of somebody, of someone's nachla, poorly, meaning like we said about the woman, where if she takes mana that's worth a mana of a dinar, or and she sells it for just a mana, we spoke about if she undersells. So the current Mishnah continues on that theme. But in this case, it's talking about bezdin, and it's talking about any two people. So the Mishnah says, shum hadayana. The evaluation of the judges, if let's say a borrower owes a lender money, so they have to sell from his estate to pay up the lender. So if they evaluate and shepichsushtos, they undervalue it, they undersell it for a sixth worth of it. Or they overprice it of a sixth. So mechem batel, that's already out of the permitted area, and therefore that would be an invalid sale. Shem Gamliel, he argues, he says, no, mechem kaim. It is a valid sale. And the reason is because what would that leave for the authority of the courts if it was only within this range? So that's always what people have rights in. If you're saying that it's going to be invalidated more or less than that, then that takes away the rights of the best, and therefore, no matter how much or less, their sale is valid. Now, the Mishnah concludes, avalim asu igris bikaris b'nein. However, if they wrote a letter of investigation, which means to say that they made an announcement, and that's the terminology of Bukharis, which means that people are checking into this field that's being sold because of the announcement that they Bezdin made that they're selling off this person's estate, then then even if they sell something worth a mana for 200, or something worth 200 for a mana, then mechren kaim. Then it's going to be valid, because then we're not entering the concern about it as if it's an error. This is something that everyone knew about it, and still that's the price that they fetched. Therefore, that's something that wasn't considered a mistake, no matter what the difference in price is, and therefore the mechren would be kaim.